like you to turn with me tonight for our study to Colossians, the third chapter. So if you'll please turn there. Our text is in that passage, and the whole context of the passage is important for us. I'd like to read the third chapter down to verse 17 as our scripture lesson tonight. So give attention now. Colossians 3, I'll begin at verse 1. And read through 17. If then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things that are above, not on things that are on the earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you, sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. On account of these, the wrath of God is coming. In these you too once walked when you were living in them, but now you must put them all away: anger, wrath, malice, slander, and obscene talk from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, seeing that you have put off the old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge after the image of its creator. Here there is not Greek or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free, but Christ is all and in all. Put on then as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another, and if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other as the Lord has forgiven you, so also you also must forgive. And above all these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you are called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Just direct your attention particularly to the 13th verse, bearing with one another. And our focus tonight will be directly, really, on that particular phrase, bearing with one another. That phrase means to endure patiently the things that other people do that trouble you or bother you. Or to put it in sort of a slang sort of way, be tolerant of those and those things that bug you. Now, if you just take that one thing, my sermon's over. Because that's what I want you to take home and work on this week. Try to be more tolerant or endure patiently the people or the things which trouble you. That's certainly a challenge not from me, but from the Lord himself, because I just read it to you from his own word. All through this passage, you can see instruction about how we're to deal with one another, how we are to reflect the qualities of Christ in our dealings with each other. Now, we know from interpersonal relationships that we have that when people get together, you're going to have some irritation. You're going to have some trouble because people are very different. God made us different, and that was his purpose in that. And whether we're talking about a single family, the adjustments and all of that that goes into a marriage relationship, or whether we're talking about nations, how they get along, we find that the situation can become very volatile and that there's trouble that develops between these people. And the reason for that is we still bear some of our sinful nature. Even those of us who have been recreated and given a new nature, some of that old nature still stays there, And basically, there's a selfishness that exists within us. And when you put two selfish people side by side, they're not both going to get their way, because the relationship just doesn't happen that way. So this is one of those one another passages, and there are many one another passages in the scripture. Love one another. Here's bear with one another. Bear one another's burdens. And there's just many, many of these phrases that speak of the one another's. And this one is particularly dealing with people who irritate or who trouble you, or situations where you're irritated or whatever. And the command from God is bear with that. Don't get distressed. Don't get upset. Don't get irritated or resentful or bitter. Deal with it. Face it and endure it patiently. That's what God is saying to us. In other words, be tolerant with people. With people that you don't get along well with, we need to be tolerant. We need to give them room. We need to let them be themselves as we relate to them. Be generous in your spirit toward other people, rather than being critical or always jumping on something or being offended by something that they might do or say to you. There's a fellow who, by the name of Gene Guest, who wrote a book on the one another passages. He picked all of them out and then has an article on each one. But he was speaking at a convention, and about a week after the convention, he got this email that said this person was very much offended by him at that convention, was terribly hurt, I think was his phrase, because he had passed Mr. Goetz in the hallway, and Mr. Goetz had not recognized him and spoken to him. That very much, as I said, this terribly hurt him, because he thought he should have been recognized and spoken to. Well, Mr. Goetz had no recollection of the event, of course, because there were many people at this convention. He certainly was not in trying to snub the guy. He wasn't purposely avoiding him or whatever, but probably had his mind on something else and was concentrating on that. But when he learned of the problem, he apologized to this man who was terribly hurt, even though the problem was not his. The problem was on the other man, but still he apologized for that, because that man had made an issue out of something that was not an issue. Now that's what we're talking about, making issues out of things that are not really issues. This man could have easily thought to himself, when he wasn't spoken to, well, I know Mr. Goetz has a lot of responsibility at this conference, and I should just be glad that I can be here and benefit from his teaching. That would have been a much better Christian approach to the thought. Well, that may seem a little petty to you, for a person to get terribly hurt because somebody didn't speak to him. But if you're honest with yourself, don't you sometimes, and don't I sometimes, get troubled or distressed by very small things, very little things, what maybe other people looking at it would think was very insignificant kind of thing? Maybe it's somebody sneezing right in your face without covering. That could be very irritating. Or maybe picking some food out of a common dish over in the dining room here, and then putting it back because they didn't want that one, they wanted the other one, or little things of that kind. Or maybe someone who wants the air conditioning on and you want it off because you're not comfortable in that situation. Or maybe in the airport somebody's on their cell phone when you're trying to read a book waiting for the next airplane, and they're talking out loud so about people in a radius can hear them, and that can be troublesome. The classic example, I guess, would be marriage partners where one works with the toothpaste tube from the bottom up and the other squeezes it anywhere it'll work and get that paste out. Maybe you're driving on a trip and you're driving, you want to get there, and the other person that's ahead of you is enjoying the scenery. And that irritates you. There's something that rises up within you and says, this is not right. I'm being offended here by this particular situation. Well, there's lots of illustrations. I could go on and on and on with this kind of illustration. But we know how we react, and we know that it's a selfishness that exists there if I'm not willing to yield to the other person. And so the first thing I want to talk about tonight is the need for this command. Why do we need this command that God has given us to bear with one another, to be tolerant and generous toward the other person? Well, I said we were selfish. We are sinful creatures still, not completely free of that. And we need to realize that we are different, that God, when He made His world, did not make us out of one pattern. And everybody here in this room is very different. We have different thoughts. We have different ways of approaching things. We do things differently, and we need to learn to give room to the other person to allow them to do it their way sometimes. Another kind of classic thing is to say, put three cooks in the kitchen and let them try to prepare a meal together. Well, unless they're guided by the scripture that we're saying we should be guided by, or whether they're really sanctified, they can do it. It can be done, but you know what happens. My way of doing this is really better than your way, and I don't want to yield to that because that'll not be good for the whole group and all of this kind of thinking. Well, this is the kind of attitude, the kind of feeling that God says, get rid of it. God says you are to bear with one another. You are to be tolerant and generous with the other person. Paul's describing in verse 5 here the natural man, the natural way that we operate. And in this case, he's talking about moral sexuality and so on. And if that natural bent goes its way, it certainly is going to get into big trouble. Verses 8 and 9, he's beginning to talk about interpersonal relationships and how we are to work with those interpersonal relationships. Natural attitudes in that will rise up to the list he gives, anger and rage and malice and slander and all of these things, if it's let to go its own way. This is where God, when He calls us to be different from the natural man, is calling us to see things differently and to react differently to those situations. I think unchecked, those situations always bring pain. They just always cause trouble in relationships, whether it's in the family or whether it's in nations. There's just always going to be strife there. And we need to find a better way. And God gives us a better way in this particular chapter when He tells us to bear with one another, make room for each other, allow things that perhaps you would think is an injury to you, just let that go. Overlook the irritating things that people do. Pay no attention to them. Don't harbor them in your mind. Don't dwell on them, but rather just relieve them. I like to call it the duck principle. Just let that roll off, just like water rolls off the duck's back. Just don't get upset by it and don't dwell on it, because that's not healthy for you or for the situation. Hence the need for the command. We all have tendencies along these lines. And therefore, God says to us clearly, in dealing with people, be kind, be generous, be gentle. All of these words He uses in this chapter. Now, let's go on to the second thought here, which is the basis on which we can obey this command. That is, how can we obey it when it's our natural tendency to go other ways? Well, we get it right in verse 1, for example, of the chapter, where he basically says, if you have been raised with Christ, then this is how you're to live. In other words, we are to look at the mercies that God has given us, the blessing that has been come to us through the work of Christ in being raised with him. Paul uses the same type of argument when he says in Romans 12, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you give your sacrifice yourself, become a living sacrifice. What does he base that on? The mercies of God, being raised with Christ. If those things are true in your life, you have the capacity then to be able to respond differently to these situations or like situations in this particular case. We see the same framework really in verse 12, where there is he's talking and he basically says, therefore, as God's chosen people. Now, think again. Here's the mercy that has come to us, the blessing that has come to us from God, because I am one of God's chosen people. If that is true, then holy and dearly beloved, clothe yourselves with compassion and kindness and all of this. The basis of being able to obey a command to bear with somebody that irritates me is really the fact that Christ has forgiven me. I've been loved. I've been chosen. I've been dearly loved in this situation, and therefore I can be a different kind of person. When you think about that, that is the groundwork on which we want to build this new kind of attitude toward irritations or offenses that may come to me in life. When you just dwell on that, just let that rest in your mind. Look at all that God has done for you. God has certainly put up with a lot in you. Think about how many times he has loved you in a situation where he could easily have become bitter toward you. I think it's like Israel. You know, how many times did God put up with Israel's turning away from him and putting up idols and all of these things that they did? And yet God maintained his mercy in that particular case. And if we have experienced that in our own heart, then we have a capacity to be more kind toward other people. We have a capacity to forgive rather than to harbor a grudge against somebody and so on. Jesus told a parable that really brings this out, and that is about this man that owed thousands and thousands of dollars, this servant that owed thousands and thousands of dollars to his master. And when he came in to settle up, the master forgave him the entire debt. And that same servant goes out then and finds another person who owes him a few dollars or a few cents and throws him in jail. Now, Jesus told that parable so that we would learn that if I have been forgiven all of these things from God, then I must practice then a kind of kindness and love toward people around us. How many times then should I forgive someone? Maybe someone has really bugs me a lot, and it's happened again and again. How many times should I forgive them? Well, the question is the answer, really. How many times has God forgiven you? If Jesus is our pattern, and God's kindness to us is the basis of my being able to deal with others, then I have to think back how many times he's ministered to me. 70 times 7? Many, many more than that. So we know that that's true. So the basis is clear, I think. And when God has been merciful to you, you have the capacity, I'm saying, to be a different kind of person reacting to irritations and other things that come to you. So let's look at some examples then of people who were able to do this. And of course, the first example would be the Lord himself. In verse 13, it says, forgive as the Lord has forgiven you. So he, Jesus, is always our best example of any of these principles. Love as he loved, accept as he accepted, forgive as he has forgiven you. How tolerant was Jesus of his disciples? I think there were a lot of times when Jesus got pretty upset with them, because they just weren't catching on real fast and they weren't picking it up as he hoped that they would. he says to them, remember when they were out in the boat and he was sleeping and the storm came up and they waked him and said, we're going to perish. And Jesus answered back, oh, you of little faith. I think he was upset by the fact that they didn't trust him in that situation. And yet he was tolerant of them. He accepted that and went on training them. When they were unable to heal the demon-possessed boy, when Jesus was up on the mountain, and he came down, and his statement to them at that place was, oh, unbelieving and perverse generation. This is his disciples he's speaking to. And they were just not catching on or not doing it the way he was training them to do it. Or one time he said to Philip, don't you know me, Philip, after I've been with you all this long time? Don't you know who I am? I think Jesus had occasions where he was could easily have been bitter or irritated or resentful that they weren't catching on the way they should have. And we see Jesus' tolerance with them, his training them, his loving care of them. He helped them know when they were wrong, and he helped them to get it right. And that's really what we want to do as well. I think we see Jesus' tolerance even more when he was on trial before Herod and before the Sanhedrin, before Pilate. We read a little bit about this in Peter earlier in the service. He was being physically abused, unjustly. He was being falsely accused. He was had all kinds of reasons to retaliate, but he didn't. He fulfilled the scripture that says, as the lamb before her shearers is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. He had power to annihilate those people. All he had to do was say a word, and they would have been destroyed on the spot. But rather, he put up with them. He patiently endured them, which is what we're talking about tonight, bearing with one another. Instead of retaliating on the cross, when they were crucified, these soldiers had gathered around and were actually putting him on the cross. What did he say? He said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they're doing. He's a total example of bearing with the offenses that came toward him as a person. I see this same quality in the Apostle Paul. Remember when he was in prison in Rome and wrote a letter to the Philippians. And in that letter he says, because of my chains, most of the brothers in the Lord have been encouraged to speak the word of God more courageously and fearlessly. Now it's true, he says, that some preach out of envy and rivalry, out of selfish ambition, supposing that they can stir up trouble for me while I'm in chains. But what does it matter? The important thing is that in every way Christ is being preached, and because of this I rejoice. Now here's Paul in prison. If you were in prison for your faith, and you hear that some of the brothers, some of those friends in the church, some of those who are close to you, are trying to do something further to hurt you, in that situation, it's so easy to become bitter, so easy to become resentful of that kind of behavior. Paul doesn't do that. Paul simply says, let it slide. Roll it off my back. Get rid of it. We're not going to make an issue out of it. Christ is being preached, and for this I rejoice. Wonderful examples of bearing with one another, which is a hard thing to do. It's not a natural thing to do. But Paul goes on here and says, the Bible says, love covers a multitude. This is not in this passage, it's another passage. Love covers over a multitude of sins. And here's Paul loving these people who are out there as his brothers preaching the word, and just passing this over, not taking offense when he easily could have and made an issue of that for them. Well, this brings us to our application and to the challenge that we face then here tonight. I hope the challenge is already pretty well before you, that you've already caught on to what we're saying here and what this passage is challenging you to do. But this passage was written to a Colossian church, but it's also written to us because God put it in the scripture for us and our instruction. So God wants us to be compassionate. He wants us to be kind. He wants us to be gentle. He wants us to not take offense, but bear with people who don't do things the way we do, who don't maybe have the convictions that we have any of these situations. It won't be natural for us to do that, but I think by God's grace, it can happen. I don't think there's any one of us here that couldn't, right now, if we just had an open forum, tell of somebody who has offended you or irritated you or in some way hurt you one way or another. I'm just sure, because we could do that. We could take time to think that out. Maybe they were even Christian brothers and sisters. Maybe they were somebody that was really close to you, maybe even a family member or whatever. But God says here, and I think this is clear and plain, forget it. Just forget it. Don't dwell on it. Don't let it just build up a bitterness and a resentment within your own spirit, in your own mind and heart. Don't hold a grudge, because it simply will destroy you. Rather, forgive as you have been forgiven by Christ Jesus himself. And from now on, don't pay attention to those kinds of things. Let them roll off your back. Just don't pay attention to them. And let me say one other thing that I think is very significant, and that is, seldom are these things maliciously given. Often the things that trouble us or we may dwell on afterward were not intended. This is like the Getz situation where this man was offended. He certainly was not intending to offend him. And I think that's often true. Maybe somebody will say something. They had no malicious intent in that. But you pick it up and you dwell on it and it becomes a big issue with you. And you're not bearing with one another in that particular situation. So the passage says, put off the old ways. Just put them off and put on the new ways. Be generous with people, love them, and they will love you back. And in this way, the body of Christ becomes closer. And we learn to love each other and live with each other in a much better way. Verse 14 kind of sums it up when it says, over these things, over these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together. If you have real love, love for Christ or God and love for your brother, these things will be put away. There's a writer, Dr. Carson, that says this, love is the lifeblood of the other virtues. Without love, they are only dutiful moral attitudes, but with love, they are blended into a moral unity which is complete. So let's hear the word that God has given us tonight, and that is to bear with one another. It'll challenge you all week long. I'm not doubting a lot at all that something will happen to you this week where you'll have to apply this scripture to your situation. Do it for God's sake and God's glory. Let's pray.